Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome back to the podcast in which I talk about video games, and just so I don't go off track, I invite three of the people into the call so that they can keep me going. This week we have got Mr. Lewis Knight.
Yo, yo.
We have not L.
Is that me?
Yeah, that is you.
Hello.
Yeah, this is a joke.
No, he's not Ross today.
Oh, he's not Ross. We have not Ross.
Hello.
And we have definitely L.
Yay!
And we have me, and I'm Rich. Thank you very much. You're going to hear a lot of me during this podcast. Every now and again, I might let somebody else talk. It's probably not going to be very often. We have an awful lot to talk about tonight. So, for Ready Player 2 episode... What the hell episode
71.
Is it? 71.
71.
For Ready Player 2 episode 71, we're going to need to get going. I want Lewis to start, because Lewis has got something that we've all... I think we've all played this week, and it's something that we spoke about on the last podcast.
My
and I want
up.
To get it done. Did you just say your hands up?
Yep.
Audio only podcast.
Oh.
You're saying.
Definitely not a video.
Sorry, viewers.
Lewis, can you.
Okay, so on the last episode, we talked about the main six game, Them's Fighting Herds.
Yes.
The definitely not My Little Pony.
Yep.
Skullgirls engined beat 'em up.
Yep.
With adorable animals. And it's probably my new favourite game ever. That has ever existed and will ever exist.
So have you, how much have you played it now? According to Steam, how long have you actually played
about, about a minute.
What?
Let me have a look. Oh, 17 minutes, sorry.
17 minutes. And you've managed to, in that 17 minutes, you've managed to turn this into categorically your favourite game of all time.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going to skip right over why that and how that happened? Or are we just going to...
It's just amazing. Okay, so the music's amazing.
Yep.
The animation is amazing. The style of it is amazing. It is aesthetically very nice. It's not just a beat 'em up. There is like a dungeon crawler type element
to
it.
Yeah, that's weird. That is.
And yeah, yeah.
Can I contradict you slightly?
When I get 5 minutes, I will. Try and play another 5 minutes of it.
That's like another 25% of what you've already done, which is amazing.
Of what I've already played. So
right. I'm going to contradict you ever slightly, and I think Lee might slap me on the head.
Absolutely
no,
not.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to. I am going to.
Not allowed.
I'm allowed. Elle, have you played this?
No, I didn't.
Oh my god.
I'm
it's
very,
a game
very sad.
In which
I didn't.
Hoofed creatures beat each other.
I know. I really want it. I'm gonna get out of my comfort zone because it kind of. I want to love it because it's presented in a way that I love.
Your comfort zone being games that nobody else knows about.
My comfort zones being like sports bally games, but
right.
We'll get on to getting out of my comfort zone a little bit later with one of my other ones, so fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, look, I'm going to contradict. Right, Lee might not agree with me, and I know Lewis isn't going to. I don't like the music in this game. So one of the first things
me.
It didn't offend me. Like, it didn't crawl up in my pants and start kicking me in the balls or anything, but it just feels really...
I might, if you carry on with this train of thought.
It feels really... It feels really at odds with the style of the game. Like, I wanted the music to be slightly more cutesy and to be... Do you know what I mean? I kind of wanted everything about the game, including the animation and the music and the audio and all the rest of it, to be kind of cutesy and completely at odds with the fact that everybody's beating each other up. And I didn't like it. It wasn't great. The gameplay, though, the animations are really nice. The gameplay, now, when you get into the gameplay, really good. getting into the gameplay, really fucking difficult, because I don't know what you guys did, but I went, okay, fine, I'm going to play against the computer. I'm not going to play against other people straight away because it's got online play. I'm going to play against the AI because maybe I'll be able to learn the game. Fuck me, that was a mistake.
Yeah, I did exactly the same thing.
The default
almost
mode,
killed it for me.
I learned from you two and set it straight to easy.
All right, okay, so I didn't realize. Well, I see, I didn't go and check the settings, so I assumed that the default difficulty mode would be like normal, but the default difficulty for the AI is Skynet. So you've got to, you basically get in, yeah, and then it's the end times, and you've got to fight through Judgment Day. You cannot move. The default setting, I'm sure there's going to be other people that have played this fucking amazing at beat 'em ups and just all incredible, and you're all fucking walking on water and shit, but I couldn't do it. I could not play this
just
game
to note,
at all.
There has been an update, and they've adjusted the default difficulty.
Oh, they have now?
Yeah.
For me.
Not much.
Were you going to ask so if I'm much of a beat 'em up player?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you guys much of beat-em-up players.
Well, we played against each other.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
No, I like that.
Okay.
I am slightly a beat-em-up player. I don't play beat-em-ups a lot, I wouldn't say.
Okay.
They're like a handheld or a casual game for me, so no, not a lot. I used to love them when they were in arcades.
Yeah.
It was definitely an arcade-style game for me.
As soon as they went on to joypads.
You could just smash buttons to play, let's be honest.
As soon as they went on to joypads, I stopped playing them. While they're in arcades, then you've got a stick and buttons to mash. That's fine. But when you can only use your thumb, or mostly use your thumb, then I'm going to struggle.
I like
fighting games died for me when my 5-year-old brother beat me at fucking Tekken because, you know, he sits there and just ham fists the fucking controller.
Yeah, don't play competitive games with people under the age of 12. You just feel bad. This is why I don't go on Xbox Live ever.
Yeah.
But no, so in summary of this game, the AI was ridiculous, and it shows you what you can do if you are ridiculously good at this game and made out of silicon. But I played against Lee, and I went into the weird dungeon crawler thing that Lewis was on about, which is kind of like an 8-bit top-down thing where you get to walk around how you describe it, but like a map. And you get to meet up with other people and then just challenge them to fights, and you can have a few fights with them and then stop and then walk over to somebody else and challenge them to a fight. So cool little neat addition to the game.
Basically
seems to have
lobby.
Voice. Yeah, it's a lobby. That's what it is. Yeah. That's the best word for it. That was a really long way of me saying it's a lobby. Mm. But the voice chat is on all the time. All the time. I couldn't find a way to turn it off or to put push to talk on, and I have kids.
Yeah, but you don't read the instructions,
No,
Rich.
I did. I read the instructions, Al. Look, I went into every menu that I could possibly find, right? And there was nowhere for me to turn on push to talk. It's one of the first settings I look for when I play any game. And so I could hear everybody. There were so many people waffling in this fucking lobby and I couldn't do anything about it. And stupidly, even when you join a game against another individual, you can still hear everybody else who's back in the lobby talking.
I'm kind of with Elle. You don't read instructions, and I'm sure that there will be some way to turn that off.
I think you're wrong. I'm putting this down in the document. Fucking after this podcast, right, find fucking setting. Right. I spelled fucking wrong, but you get the idea.
Fucking IGN. Fucking.
Yeah, well, that's I stand by it. So
I'll buy it on payday, and I will have a look. I'll read the manual.
RTFM.
There is a manual.
Right, Lewis.
Yeah.
Let's skim straight over the fact that I don't believe that you can know that this is your favorite game ever after 17 minutes, and go straight to why do you think it's your favorite game ever? Is it just one of these things that's just gelled with you? The whole look, the style, everything.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be one of those games that. Because I really enjoyed Skullgirls.
Right.
And I played a fair amount of that on the PS3. So, having gone into this, it has a very similar aesthetic feel to it, a very similar gameplay feel to it, and a very similar musical feel to it. Mainly because everyone that worked on Skullgirls basically worked on this. So, okay, Them's Fighting Herds is made in the same engine. The guy that did the soundtrack for Skullgirls is the same guy that did the soundtrack for this. And the person that did most of the art design for Skullgirls also did the art design for Them's Fighting Herds. So,
if anybody else plays this, and if anybody else is a dad like me and has young girls, right... because we know the background of this now. We know that it was started off being a My Little Pony fighting game, and then Hasbro or whoever it was came along and said, no, that you're not allowed to do that. You've got to fucking make it legally different. I can point to, and they went off and they redid all of the art. I can point to every single one of the characters and go, that's Pinkie Pie. That's Fluttershy. That's Twilight Sparkle. I know what they've...
I'm a little bit proud and a little bit disgusted at you. That's of that, you, about
that
you.
That cow is clearly Applejack. I could do it for every single character. I sat there, I played every single one through going, I know who all of these were meant to be in the original version of the game.
You do sound proud.
I was proud. Emily liked it as well. Age appropriate for everybody. I didn't see any blood or gore, so that was fine. Right then. We need to talk about something else because we've jumped through that really quickly. Unless anybody wants to talk about them fighting hers anymore?
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
How much was it? We didn't discuss
about £8. More than £8, but less than £9.
We'll go £8. I think it was about that.
I think it was about £8.49, and it's on offer until like the 8th of March, I believe.
If you're into fighting games and you want something different, and it is a proper fighting game, so I play people online, and it is a proper... If you're good at these kind of games, it is ridiculous.
I won't be surprised to see this on the competitive scene next to, like, against Skullgirls or Dragon Ball FighterZ those sorts of beat-em-ups.
Don't get confused by the cutesy art style. It is a proper beat-em-up to the point where I don't understand most of it and my fingers don't contort in the way that the game expects you to. But anyway, we need to move on to something else because we're trying to blast through all these games and things that we found. Elle, can I ask you to talk about something?
Yes, we'll talk about something sports ball-y.
No. What?
Yeah. So I'm sort of going out of my comfort zone. I bought Pyre because So I really like Supergiant Games. They're the people who did Bastion
Transistor.
That's it, Transistor. And I really, really love the art styles that they go for. I read the blurb of Pyre and was immediately taken by it, so I bought it. So there's this team-based RPG game where your character is a reader in a world where reading is like treason or like a terrible crime. How dare you read?
So America.
No.
Basically, yeah. And you and this team of exiles are trying to earn your freedom from banishment by doing these mystic rites, which look like basketball. Right? Okay?
Hang on. Wait, what?
Yeah. I know. It's
that,
the most...
That took a real left turn all of a sudden.
It's like, oh yeah, a real great narrative experience plus sports ball. So it's kind of like me dipping my toe very gently into the sports ball area because it's gently guiding you in with storyline and a beautiful, like, sumptuous presentation with really lovely character art and beautiful like music. The only thing that it's missing is it doesn't have that, you know, really velvety voiceover from like some sort of auditory sex god that they did last in their last couple of games. It does not have the sexy voiceover man. I'm sorry if you were excited for that, he's not there. But it's actually really fun.
Is it basically just the magic equivalent of or the basketball equivalent of Blood Bowl? But
I cannot tell. I swear to God, right? You've just explained all of what this is, right? The videos that I'm looking on the Steam site now, from the description of the game, from the screenshots and the three videos that I've just skimmed through, I would not got anything that you've just said.
I have no idea what this game is. None.
Great game! So you have these three characters in your sports ball team, and you pass this orb, which is the ball, I guess, between each other. The person who has the ball is the only one who can move. So you're controlling like one character at a time. You can pass the ball between your characters and they each have like different traits and skills. So the little dog person is like super fast. and the really, really large woman with the horns. She's proper, like, hench, but she's a bit slow. So she would be a defender, I guess, and the dog person would be an attack person because that's a more aggressive play style. I don't know. This is like asking me to.
Ross never any idea what the fuck this game's all about. I'm not sure the people who made it.
Sports ball. Oh, but it's actually really good. I would really recommend it. If we have Steamshare in our libraries, I will Steamshare to any of you because it is amazing.
Well, sounds like a good idea because I ain't paying $14.99 for this dross.
Okay. Oh, but it's so worth it.
You had trouble explaining what the game was. The developers have trouble explaining what the game is. It's like they sat in a meeting and went, right, guys, we basically want to make a sports ball game that's slightly RPG-ish. How convoluted can we make this?
I think what they said was, take these pills and let's see what happens.
Unless it does look like an LSD trip, I've got to be honest.
It does.
No, they took a shotgun and they had a book of game ideas. They shot the book of game ideas and every single bit of like bullet hit. They were like, okay, well, what are we including in here? Okay, team-based strategy combat, yes. Basketball, yes. Narrative story, yes. Magic, yes. Boom.
In a world in which Kevin Bacon is not allowed to read. Three people and a dog and a lady that looks kind of hench. I've got to play sports ball.
Earn their freedom.
This summer.
And travel around in a caravan. Yeah.
Oh my god.
They do legit have a little caravan.
I kind of want to play this just for an insight into Elle's brain. How did we get here, guys? I'm just saying, it's 2018 and so far we've spoken about a fighting game in which hoofed creatures beat each other up and a sports ball game that nobody can describe accurately.
Yeah, where's the Call of Duty? Come on.
Where's Halo? Finger on the pulse. Okay, so you like this and you would recommend it despite being a sports ball game that's comfortably wrapped in an RPG.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I think this might actually outdo the Hoover experience from the last time we recorded. I don't really...
You've peaked.
I mean, we did kind of say that I like my weird games. I was like, okay, yesterday I went on a game buying trip. I had my lovely little shopping cart and I was like, oh yeah, going to pick up some weird games. And this is one of them that got in my shopping
right,
trolley.
Right, so this is just how weird this game is and just to really highlight everything. So you explained about the dog that's a character in the game. It's kind of fast that you think he's an Asaki person. So I've just gone to their merchandise store. Two pieces of merchandise that they've got are their original soundtrack on vinyl.
Which is beautiful.
On vinyl.
Yeah.
And
a dog hoodie! I'm in. I'm 100% in.
Oh my god!
It's actually a hoodie.
What?
It's not a hoodie with a dog on it. It's a hoodie for a dog.
Oh man, I need to have a look at this.
It's a fight.
And that explains why it was on sale on the Christmas New Year.
Because
it's a dog.
Hoodie. I don't know. I think someone needs to send that to me at some
that
point.
That is
because...
weird. It's on the Steam page.
Oh my god!
Yep. She just inhaled the
air. I found it. Holy crap, that is amazing! Now your dog, too, can fight for its freedom.
I don't have a dog, and I'm not sure I'd subject
when you
it
said,
you've got a child, put it on a child!
When you said dog hoodie, I thought it was like a hoodie with like you know a dog on it, not a hoodie for a dog.
No, it's a custom for a dog. And if you don't want the hood, it's got a little pouch on the back of the neck so you can put it in it. I don't understand. Okay.
This game is everything I love in the world.
I don't know what to say, really.
I'm done. I feel like we could move on. So you recommend this. You think it's worth $14.99 for the kind of people that are batshit crazy enough to go ahead and do it?
Yes.
It's $6.99 for the DLC, which is the original soundtrack.
I didn't buy the original soundtrack. I just listened to that on YouTube.
You bought the game. That's bad enough. buy Pyre Soundtrack Edition, which is the special edition of the game, which is just the game and the soundtrack for $21.98. Now, I ain't no mathematician, right? But that is basically the same price as buying both things separately, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, just listen to it on YouTube.
Okay. Right, are we can we move on? Okay. Right, I'm going to move on now. Because is that the weirdest thing that you've got this week, just so I'm clear?
No.
Oh my god.
Actually, yeah, I've actually looked into what Elle's going to say.
Strap yourselves in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brace yourselves.
Right, I'm in that weird hole this week again. where everything that I've done, I've pretty much done with Lee. And you can take that in any way that you want.
I'm not taking it as any way.
That's not what you said last night. can I rant Lee? Is that right?
Yeah, go for it.
Am I? Is this rant o'clock, or do we want to put the rant off a little bit?
No, I think you should go balls deep. Go on.
I'm going to rant. Okay, I'm going to go for it.
Jump right in.
Elder Scrolls Online is fucking terrible.
Mm. It's
so bad. And if you want 2.5 hours worth of confirmation of this, we streamed, four of us playing Elder Scrolls Online Morrowind, from the very beginning of the game, from getting in the newbie area, the starter area, running around. This is with somebody who's played the game previously on Xbox for an undisclosed number of hours, and somebody who had previously played the game on PC, like the exact game that we were about to play, and was now on his third character. This is Lee, on his third character, so basically knew exactly what to do. Both people had played solo and hadn't played with anybody else. Bear in mind, this is an MMO. Mm-hmm. And both people, both Lee and Roy, the other guy that we were playing with, said, it's pretty good, quite enjoy it.
Mm.
Now, the problem is, Elder Scrolls is a game that is designed for you to play alone. You get to immerse yourself in the world, you get to walk around, you get to look at everything, you get to inspect everything, you get to rob people blind, you get to wait for people to go to sleep and steal everything off them, or basically take your own path and do pretty much whatever you want. This game has been designed exactly with that in mind. It has been designed for you to immerse yourself in absolutely everything. You can spend hours and hours and hours reading through lore, looking at information, stealing things off people, all kinds of stuff.
He's down with the stealing, by the way.
Oh, good grief, I'm a clown.
So, you had to drag him away from
that. So, the problem with all of that is basically the entire richness of the game. As soon as you're in a group of four people, you cannot stop to luxuriate in all of that shit. You just have to play. Because otherwise, you're dragging everything back for everybody else, and everybody else just wants to get on with it.
You're in two states in this game. You're either waiting for people to catch up, or you're trying to catch up with
No,
people.
No. There is a third state, and it's almost the perpetual state, which is lost.
Yeah.
So this game suffers from and causes one of the worst things that's ever happened in MMOs. Back in the day, MMOs used to be the quests that you got in MMOs were essentially, go here and do this. And that was fucking all you got. It was just like a vague direction north, and there is a tree in a fucking forest that has got a slightly different fucking notch in it than all the other trees, and you've got to lick it or something like that. And you would spend hours fucking licking every tree in this bloody forest and coming back with bark on your tongue. But you'd done the quest. MMOs nowadays, you talk to somebody with a great big exclamation mark over their head. You don't read anything that they say. Then you get a massive great arrow over your head or some kind of similar indicator. Walk there. Click on something and don't read any of that either, and then go back to the original person. That is the entire quest system.
And numbers get bigger.
Yeah, now the entire thing falls apart ever so slightly when the indicator in the game that's supposed to show you where you're going next is bipolar. And you have absolutely... Neither it nor you has any idea where you want to go or it wants you to go. So we spent in a fucking area that is just a maze of doors... Literally, it must have been 30 minutes of this video that we streamed live on Twitch trying to get out.
It's longer than that. If you do need to go and waste 2 hours of your life, it's probably still on Twitch on our recently done videos. So.
Which is brilliant. And we played with a guy called Roy who is... where's he from? Is it? I'm going to say something wrong.
North.
North. He's from some... He is the angriest North guy. North guy?
The cold North.
Yeah, basically that, right? He is like...
Northerner.
He's permanently berserk.
He was in a hard... He was a lead singer of a hard metal rock band. I say hard metal, I don't really know what that means.
Exit State.
He was a lead singer.
Look him up on YouTube. He's the lead singer. He's fucking good.
He is an angry vocalist by trade, right? This is essentially 2.5 hours of him shouting at the game and us trying to work out where he is.
He uses swear words as punctuation. Actually, he uses swear words as spacing between
words.
He uses
swear words as commas. Yeah. I don't even know where to start with this, and I don't want to ramble on about it too much, but basically, the graphics are fucking terrible. The quest system is appalling. The way that you party and find each other is incomprehensible. You can't share quests with each other. There is absolutely no way of working out who's on what quest, where they're meant to be or where they're going. The system in which it's trying to tell you where to go next is just mind-blowingly wrong, and we could not work out where each other was, where we were supposed to be going, what stage of any quest, and every single fucking quest that we were doing was fetch and carry. We did 2.5 hours worth of fetch and carry quests in which the people who designed the game can't work out that they cannot give you 3 quests about mushrooms. Because we have 3 quests in our inventory and all of them would do something with some kind of mushroom, but not all the mushrooms are the same and they're slightly different kinds of mushrooms. So we went to one place and picked up mushrooms and we thought, okay, so we've got the mushrooms to complete this one quest. No, it's a different type of mushroom for a different type of person. So we had to go and get some different mushrooms from a different location and then come back and have those mushrooms. It's fucking, it is just awful. It is a mess of a game.
Did you not do any of the world anchor stuff?
I don't know what that means. Or... I don't know what any of that means. We spent 2.5 hours trying to work out where each other was.
Lee, did you?
No.
You've played it before though, haven't you?
No, I played it a little bit. When we first bought the game as a group, we bought Elder Scrolls Online, but then the group decided to go and play Conan instead.
Good decision.
Yeah, which was a good decision in hindsight. It was a great decision. But I bought the game and I started playing it. I thought I'd get the tutorial out of the way in the first couple of levels so that we could all group up together. So I got a little taste of it, but I didn't go deep into it. But
okay, see, now I played this quite a lot on Xbox One. And when you start doing some of the world events, so there's this thing called a world anchor where basically loads of fucking shit happens and you just have to team up with pretty much anyone that is nearby. Yeah. Or you go to like caves and fuck up some ancient snake demon and that kind of jazz. That's actually really fucking good.
No, I'm sure it is, but we
couldn't get there.
I played it single player, as I said, for a few levels, and I had a great time because I could take my time and enjoy the game. As soon as we teamed up, it turned into just a slog. It was horrible.
And this, and bear in mind that we're not talking as people who aren't used to teaming with each other.
No.
We are veterans of many, many RPGs, many, many MMOs, many, many games that we've played together.
It's like the game was making it difficult for us. Yeah. It really was. It was fighting against us the whole
horrendous
time.
Horrendous. So
I had a totally different experience when I played
were
it.
Were you playing with other people or were you very much...
Yeah.
We just couldn't get on. We could not
I
get
wonder
on.
If it's later in the game that things come together.
So right at the end, right at the very end of us having this fucking mushroom mess that was going on, we decided, fuck it, we are just going to run out into the wilderness because we are not enjoying this and this game needs to do something right now to hook us back in. So we just ran off into the wilderness hoping to find... We didn't realise it was a world anchory thing at the time, but we just thought, we'll run off. We will try and find something to do, and we will do it. So we ran off. We found this, like, crypt. We're like, fuck, crypt. Mm. A. Absolute A game. This is going to have loads of shit in it. So when we go, we found 2 creatures. Piqued our curiosity straight away. In we go. We start stabbing a couple of creatures. Now, we then spent the better part of another 20-odd minutes. We ran in. We found a door. We couldn't open the door. There was nothing that you could do with the door. There was not even an interaction that you could do on the door that said, no, we can't open this. It just didn't do anything. Then we went back out, and then we found a dude near the entrance that said, oh, there's a door in there that we might want to try and go through. Then we went back in with this guy, and then we ran up and down this fucking crypt for God knows how long. We had to go back out and back in about 10 times before he finally completely disappeared from everybody's screens. We couldn't work out where he'd gone. Worked out it was a glitch, and if you jumped around and moved in the right way, you could accidentally click on a thin piece of air that was him. Then he moved to where the door was. The door opened and we thought, fantastic, we're going to get into a scrap. We ran through the door after about 20 minutes of fucking around in this crypt. There was one enemy in there which we killed and that was the end of it. The end of the quest.
That was
the highlight of the night.
It riveted.
It's so bad. It's so bad. The level design is terrible. I couldn't get on with it. I can understand how if you were playing it solo, or maybe we were just unlucky. I mean, the other thing that really fucking rankled us right at the beginning is that Roy, the Angry Northerner, he already owned this game, but he didn't own Morrowind, the new expansion. So we thought, well, we'd bought the Morrowind pack that came with absolutely fucking everything. And we said, it's not going to matter because we'll be able to start in the same place. You won't need the expansion until later on.
Nope.
Absolutely no. If you've got Morrowind, you cannot go to the same starter area as people who don't have Morrowind. You can't play together. What the fuck?
Nope.
Do you think it is as rage-inducing as the new version of Skype?
Pretty close, actually.
Do you know what? It's not far off. It's not far off because it teases you. The new version of Skype doesn't even let you have the call in the first place. This lets you meet up with everybody. It puts you in a situation where you all have a really bad time.
Actually, the new version of Skype has got better graphics.
There is a bit. Okay. There is, yeah. Actually, that's true. The graphics in this game are terrible. If you're going to watch the Twitch video, I'd love to find out what the timestamp is where Roy gets stuck in a door, because that is basically one of the best moments in gaming in my entire life. There's a quest to rob this woman, and we all rob this woman, and he just walks in, blusters in, tries to rob her, completely fails. I'm not really sure what he did, but basically she turns around and just stands there staring at him, and he's there over Skype going, "She's just looking at me, lads. What am I doing?" So he said, "Just go out of the room and go back in. She'll probably reset, and then he can try robbing her again." No, it turns out there's these like level 999 house guards that are in the next room. So he steps out of the door. These four fucking guards leg it at him. He shits himself and tries to go out through the main door in the area, which is going to take him to a loading screen. The guy, the fucking NPC, hits him so hard when he's going through this door that he ends up in like a loading limbo in which he can see the outside and the inside simultaneously and can get to neither. It's just the angriest 15 minutes of this poor bloke's life. If you can find that on the Twitch stream, do that. But anyway, long story short, the Twitch stream is worth watching simply because it is hilarious how bad we are at this game and how much I didn't like it. But Elder Scrolls Online, fuck me, do not do it. For years and years and years, I've said, I really want Oblivion multiplayer, or I really want Skyrim multiplayer. This is so far away from that, and so far away from the experience that I thought that I wanted with an online Elder Scrolls game, that I wouldn't even try again. In fact, it's put me off attempting the Skyrim Online mod that these people are working on.
The multiplayer needs to be built in from the beginning.
Yeah, it needs to be designed from the ground up. It's a fucking MMO. You'd think they thought about that, you know? But no, didn't like it. Anyway, look, that's my rant over. We need to talk about something else, and somebody else needs to talk. So, that's it. Elder Scrolls.
Fucking
poorly. Lee, is there anything you would like to talk about that isn't Elder Scrolls?
Yes. Let's have a look. Celeste. Let's go for Celeste.
You were raving about this earlier.
Yeah.
Daphne's friend.
Yeah, if you say so. Madeline is her name.
Seriously, that was an age-appropriate comment.
Daphne. Celeste. Daphne.
You should... Daphne and Celeste.
Oh, that rings
a couple
of
women in the car drove off a cliff.
Stick you, your mama too. No, that's Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise, yeah. <that's right. laughs>
Oh, I thought I was being made to look stupid, but no, you stepped in.
I fully make myself look stupid all the time. No, I got confused. Those are the two people I wanted to drive off the cliff.
Slight sideline. Yeah. Daphne and Celeste, the top YouTube video for them is Daphne and Celeste getting bottled at Reading 2000.
Sounds about right. What the fuck were they doing at Reading?
This was in 2000.
They weren't climbing up a mountain.
Well, they did, because they did Oot Stick You.
I feel like we've got off track ever so slightly. I'm not really sure how we got there.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, Celeste.
Celeste is a very, very, very beautiful side-scrolling platformer made by the creators of Towerfall. Map Makes Games, Inc. are the developers. And,
right.
Towerfall Ascension?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Okay.
In the description, they only call it Towerfall, so... I didn't play Towerfall Ascension. And I'm not... I've played a lot of platforming games, but mostly... Way, way, way back in...
Towerfall's really fucking good, but anyway.
So I'm talking Chucky Egg and Manic Miner. and I've enjoyed some... like Mario side-scrolling platforming games kind of killed it for me. I never really got into them. But this is fantastic. So it's 8-bit graphics. It has a really, really beautiful aesthetic to it. The cutscenes are really fantastically rendered. The music's really fitting. There's some cutesy storyline that goes along with it. But there's a deeper, darker undercurrent to the story as well. In the first act, you come across a mirror and part of your personality breaks away from you and it's your darker side. And it kind of explores some...
So edgy.
Sorry?
I said so edgy.
Three edge, five me.
Right, let's not get elitist, El. This is fucking... Somebody Dory, else is Lee, trying please. To talk about a weird indie game that they found and nobody
yeah,
else knew
yeah.
about.
Yeah, sorry, I'm standing... I'm pissing on your chips, sorry. the game itself, the actual platformy game itself is... really simply done, jump button, a wall grab button, and a dash button. And the mechanics are that if you dash, you have to land on a flat surface before you can dash again. So that's your restriction. And it's one of those games that's really easy to get into, but to get past each section of level takes some work, and you die all the time. But you instantly respawn, so dying doesn't really hurt. And you it's one of those ones that it's so fantastic. The level design is so fantastically well done that it's never too difficult to get past the next bit. And you naturally learn how to deal with the different patterns that you're going to need to pull off to actually get to the end of each level. I love this game. It's fantastic.
You were saying that it is like proper hard. Is that it's like really you hard. Proper hard or normal people proper hard?
What are you trying to say?
You know exactly what I was trying to say.
You're not very good at games.
Sorry, was I not clear? So try not to mince words.
Kicked your ass up for them fighting herds.
You did not. That is an absolute lie. That is a flagrant lie.
I did. Oh, sorry, but yes, I did.
No, what? Let's move on,
to interject the arguing, I have a question. Yes. So, I'm kind of sick of 2D platformers. Mm. I think that the market is just so saturated in just 2D platformers. It drives me insane. Every time I'm like, I really might like this indie game, Owlboy, and look at it and it's like 2D platformer. And I'm like, fuck's sake, really? Honestly? Can anyone just... stop.
See, there's an exception to that in my mind. So you're absolutely right. The indie market is absolutely flooded with 2D platformers. The problem that I've got with the majority of them is that they go for the deep feels. You know what I mean? They go for the kind of weird deep feel storyline. And actually, the level design they put like a really weird mechanic in that they think makes them really edgy and clever, but actually is just masking the fact that the level design... It's a 2D platformer. Basically, the entire game is level design. If the level design isn't any good, then the whole thing's shit. The reason that Super Meat Boy was so good was that the level design in that game was fucking fantastic. And it was really varied. And really
Fez.
And I never played Fez, but I did hear very similar things. This kind of looks like that. Do you know what I mean? And if you look at the screenshots and stuff on it, the levels are so massively varied. They're completely different from each other. It does look kind of cool. But I do agree with you. It's very...
Is it well built, Lee?
The level design is the premium part of it. It's so brilliantly put together. Really is. And it's one of those ones where you will get to the point where you just want to smash your face into the screen because you just can't get past a certain part of it. It drives you crazy. You walk away, you come back a couple of hours later, you pick it up and do it first time.
And what platform did you play it on?
It's on Steam. And it's on Xbox, PS4,
there's
Switch.
On quite a few.
Yeah. Yeah, I played on Steam with my Xbox controller.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Controller.
It's on Switch and everything. This is your neck.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, I know.
How much is this on Steam? Is this another
15 quid?
15 quid? Why have indie games landed on £15? I know it takes a group of people to make these things, and I know, but
don't forget that most AAA and console titles now are anywhere between 45 and 60 quid, if not more.
Most AAA
is the budget. This is the budget price.
Right, so here's my biggest problem. Most AAA and high budget games can also be found on cdkeys.com. And a lot of indie games can't. If you go to cdkeys.com, you can buy, let's say, Conan Exiles, which is a pretty, I wouldn't say AAA, but it's made by a proper game studio and all the rest of it. I think I paid, what, nine quid for it? That is a full-on game. £15 for an indie game just seems like too much for me. This is what puts me off. If this was $6.99,
yeah,
I'd probably
buy it. Yeah, but in the same respect, you can find a lot of these games on the Humble Store.
Yeah,
that's true. Usually in Steam sales.
Yeah,
I like to value it as bang for your buck as well, because Stardew Valley, I classify as an indie game. I paid, I can't remember, like £11 or something for it, and I have gotten well over 300 hours out of it. Like, that is value for money in my world.
Yeah, I think I paid £4.50 for Minecraft when it very first came out into alpha, and I fucking never regret that.
Yeah, it's like indie games can be such a surprise in terms of how much you can eke out of it, because I've paid, you know, 50, 60 quid for AAA games and played it for like 5 hours and been like, eh.
Yeah,
I think this is well worth the money. This is definitely well worth the money. And it's got a lot of replayability as well, because when you finish a level, you can unlock the B-side of the level.
What?
There's B-sides for each level. I've not explored those yet, but...
is this the dark version of you playing the other side of the level?
Oh, that would be a good idea.
Don't know because you've not tried it.
No. The dark side thing is really weird, because your personality comes after you, and there's... You know, normally in the first chapter, you've got plenty of time to plan the level, to, you know, look for the ways through. I need to jump onto that wall and scoot over there and do this, do that. But when beginning of the second chapter, the dark side of your personality comes after you. It's chasing you the whole time, and you have to go through that whole chapter at breakneck speed.
I kind of like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I kind of like that. £15 too expensive. I'm sorry, you're not going to convince me otherwise. £15 for a side-scrolling indie platformer that's 8-bit is just too expensive. Anyway, we're going to move on.
But that's a standardization for indie games price point for indie games.
You're right. And I just think it's too much. I think it's wrong. I think indie games are wrong. They're going wrong. But I'm just going to leave that hanging there. And then in a while's time, when indie games are starting to complain that they're not making money anymore, we fucking said it here again. Right, we need to go to somebody else's thing that somebody else has done. Lewis, you've got quite a lot of stuff written down. Are you all right if I pick, because I'm happy to hear everything that you've got, but can I pick something from your list?
I would rather you pick
the thing that
those.
You highlighted.
Yeah.
That's not really me picking. That's being...
Because that will then tie in quite nicely to something else.
Oh,
so.
Okay. All right, something else on your list I want to hear about. But since you threatened me, We can talk about the thing that you've highlighted. Go on then.
Okay, so very quickly, last weekend I went. So you guys probably remember Simon Marshall.
Yes,
we've podcasted with him before. He is the main organizer of Glaz Games.
Yep,
the big local multiplayer games event. And I went up there and went to their event at the Trades Hall in Glasgow. Last weekend.
Right.
Which was absolutely amazing. So much fun.
He's like a full-bore event planner now, isn't he?
Yeah, so that's what he did for a job, but for another industry. And he now works for PR, works for a PR company.
Right.
Weirdly, with someone that I went to school with.
Right, okay.
But anyway, worlds colliding. But anyway, while I was there, had a chance to play loads of pretty cool games. Played Towerfall Ascension, which Lee just reminded me of, which is really good fun when you play four-player local multiplayer rather. Lethal League, which is absolutely amazing. It's like a cross between a beat 'em up and dodgeball.
I'm watching it now. I want to play this game. It looks like Deadly Squash.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. I'd never played it before, and it's pretty easy to pick up. It's actually quite easy to beat someone who has played it before and has played it at quite great lengths. Yeah, really easy to play. And I played on a pinball machine, which was quite nice. An actual oldie-worldy pinball machine.
For Lee, these are current worldy. No, you say that. We went to EGX and he spent the better part of 30 plus minutes playing on a very specific, not just pinball machines, but like a very specific pinball machine. We found this area that had all these pinball machines and he went, I wonder if they've got Adam's Family. I love that. Oh, there it is. And off he goes. Yeah. And I'm just like, what? What?
You're allowed to like these things, Lee. Don't let Rich shame you.
I'm not putting him off. It's absolutely fine. He was there for a little bit longer than was comfortable.
Shook his head.
Yeah, and the guy that was already playing it wasn't very happy with him leaning over him. But other than that, it was a great experience for everybody.
He moved eventually.
When you start pushing the sides of him instead of the buttons, right? Yeah. I like pinball machines. I like pushing them to see how far you can go before they say tilt.
Have you tried virtual pinball?
No, we're not going into that. I want to hear about Lethal League.
Lethal League. It looks a it's kind of like a it's kind of cel shaded, looks a bit like a 2D almost as a Jet Set Radio type.
Yeah, yeah.
Aesthetic to it. But it's all 2D. The gist of the game, like you say, it's like squash, you attack each other with a like a charged up ball. The more times you hit it, you then get charges to do special attacks. You can then bounce it off the wall multiple times, so you charge up the ball, but the more times you hit it off the wall, the quicker the ball moves. And then you have to hit your opponent with said ball. And you get, I think it's nine hits.
They've got like a health
per
bar.
Person. Yeah, so you get 9 blocks of health per round.
So us being on the bleeding edge and having the finger on the pulse and all the other cliched sayings of the gaming industry, this came out in 2014.
Oh really? Yeah. Did it?
Mm-hmm. But I love this because I've
cutting
never heard
edge.
Of this before.
I hadn't heard of it. I The only reason that I ended up playing it is because I was going to play Mount Your Friends 3D with a friend of mine, Laura, and the machine that we sat down in front of. We asked a couple of guys to move because they spent ages playing some game, I don't know, Party Box or something or other. They were on it for fucking ages, and I was like, look, do me a favour, guys. Can you just shift out of the way so we can play a couple of games of Mount Your Friends 3D? Just want to have a quick look at what it's like, and then you can get back on here. And then it wasn't on there, and the guys disappeared, so we played Lethal League instead.
See, some of the greatest games are the ones you discover by accident.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And of the two actual video games that I played all evening and the pinball machine, it's probably my favorite of the three.
This says it's cross-platform multiplayer as well. What other platforms is it on? Anybody know?
Lee, I didn't know it existed a week ago.
Right. This is the wrong person to be asking. Maybe go to the website.
PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
So you say this is 2D, but when you said it was cel-shaded, I think you were right. I don't think it actually is 2D. I might be wrong. I think it is actually 3D, cleverly rendered to look like it's 2D.
Hmm.
I like the cool little radio thing down the bottom that's got all the information on it I don't understand.
Hmm.
I like this.
I've literally no idea what that is, but
yeah, I'm adding this to my wish list.
There's a bundle pack as well.
I'm actually clicking the button to it. Oh, shit, no, that was Pyre. Oh, what have I done? Oh, everything's bad forever.
What's that, four pack?
Four pack of Pyre.
No, Pyre.
I don't think that's what anybody wants. Oh my god. Right, okay, I've added that to my wish list. I kind of like the look of that. I like Lethal League. It looks like it's four player as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so I only played it 1v1, which gets, I have to admit, it gets a bit boring because there's not, obviously there's only two of you. Whereas if you're playing four, I can imagine it being a bit more hectic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it. I think it will probably be good either three or four player.
Oh, it's $9.99. Why did I stop pirating games? Okay. Hey, El. No, this is okay. It's a good thing. Right then, there are other things to talk about. Lewis has got like 4,000 things to talk about, so we're not going to talk to him. We're going to talk. Who are we going to talk to? We're going to talk to Elle.
Right. We have two choices. We can either go weird or we can go
weirder.
Really weird.
Oh my god, how far down the rabbit hole is this?
I've had a quick look at the Red Strings Club and it looks quite interesting. So.
Holy shit. Possibly. Okay, we're going to go hardball into the Red Strings Club because I think it's my favourite game so far this year.
Sounds like Borno.
L.
Oh, it's...
L.
Okay, just... I'm going to read to you the
definitely
about...
Definitely sounds like Gentleman's
because
Club.
I cannot describe this better than the Steam page can.
Absolutely.
So, no. We can't go into Red Strings. I've just looked at Nico Gishi.
No. We're going into the Red Strings Club. We'll talk about the fucking crazy
as a
Mad Hatter.
I've ever seen this is.
So, the Red Strings Club is a cyberpunk narrative experience about fate and happiness, featuring the extensive use of pottery, bartending, and impersonating people on the phone to take down a corporate conspiracy.
Nailed it.
Boom!
What?
What didn't you understand, Rich?
About 25 seconds into this video, there is an 8-bit penis.
I fucking love this game.
Is there?
Yes. Yeah, go to...
Yes. So there's naked people in it. So no children play this game. Don't do it. Yeah. So it's very Shadowrun-esque. It's very cyberpunk. I absolutely adore this game. It is a Blade Runner experience. I played 7 hours of this yesterday. I completed one run through because I was so busy. Like, oh my god, I love the style in which it's presented. I love the moral conundrums that you go through during like your experience in the game. And I won't spoil too much, but you live through the experiences of this empathy android, like performing surgeries on people in order to try and make them happier in life. And I fucking love this game.
My first glance at this, I thought, oh, it looks like Indiana Jones and, you know, and LucasArts point-and-click adventure. And then you just, when you keep watching, you're thinking, what?
I don't think it's anything like that. It does kind of look like the Blade Runner point-and-click game, kind of, but that's pretty much it. Is there a Reddit for people like you?
I don't know.
I feel like there needs to be some kind of support structure.
I go into the depths of the Steam store and read, like, oh yeah, no, this looks kind of cool. I'll put it in my basket and play it for the good of humanity. Because who would know about these games if I didn't play them?
Nobody. I don't know. This literally just came out as well. This is 22nd of January this year that this game came out.
It's amazing.
So you are on the bleeding edge of weird.
But we haven't even moved on to the next game.
Can we do that in the same breath? Is there an easy segue?
I mean,
no,
yeah.
Absolutely not.
Like, to be fair, if you really want me to talk about it, I went out with the explicit purpose to find the weirdest fucking game I could find.
Is that not what you normally do?
This is proper. I got this just for everyone. It's free to play. It is a visual novel dating simulator about Taiwanese folklore and cat gods.
Okay.
Nico Gishi is a visual novel about feline beast men, Taiwanese folklore, and the pressures of consequences that come with navigating a world of gods and spirits.
See, I was in at free to play, and then as soon as you started talking about the game, I was out.
I could only play an hour and a half of this.
Only?
I couldn't do any more.
What the hell is this? This just looks like a series of screenshots with text at the bottom.
It basically is. That is what a visual novel is, Rich.
I don't need to read some of the Steam reviews.
It's, oh man, my favourite one was, "This game made me gay, recommended."
And I don't care. Now I'm a furry. 23 people found this review helpful.
Fuck all of the cats.
But the best one, the only negative review I've found is, "Maybe I don't want net neutrality after all."
That was the game that I fished out from the darkest nethers of the Steam store.
However, the thing that I've got here is, I'm neither confused, well, I'm a little bit confused, but I'm not massively confused, nor taken aback by this, because I'm pretty sure that you're the person who brought us the Pigeon Dating Simulator.
Mm. I did,
but you
yes.
liked that.
Hatto for boyfriend.
Because it was so funny.
Why? I'm sorry.
That was quite
but...
popular.
Go all the way, yeah, Hatterful Boyfriend. Mm. Go all the way over, right, to the right-hand side of the screenshots, right, and go to the third one from the right, which is just like a great big buff-looking tiger fella, standing with a towel, a loincloth or something, right?
It's nothing, I'm fine.
He's no, I'm concerned that you've not been taking care of yourself.
Oh! Right?
Now, he's covered in fur. Why does he have pubic hair?
I don't understand, but... Hatterful Boyfriend is much more entertaining than this game. The reason why is because there was a human pigeon war. How fucking insane is that? Oh yes, everything changed when the pigeon nation attacked. Like, what?
This confuses me. What the thing that confuses what, me the most?
Sexually or
in all sorts of ways. The thing that confuses me most is that the reviews are very positive.
No, that this is people breaking the internet, I think. This is...
Look, I can't recommend it. I don't think the writing is very good. The story was very flat.
Is the level
the
design
character...
any good?
Oh my god.
No, because there is no level design. But, like, the choices, they're very minimal. I couldn't connect with the main character who I was supposed to be. Who the fuck is chill about walking into fucking... anthropomorphic fucking tiger men in your room? It's like, oh yeah, no, this is fine, I can accept this.
There's a dragon in.
Who does that?
There's a dragon in one of the screenshots. Is this all blokes? Did the whole thing is
yes
about...
it's all blokes,
right?
It's,
so
it's
I,
very
I mean
gay.
I got that pretty quick, but then everybody's got, there's loads of people like in the comments going,
what
is,
amazes me,
this is quite gay and furry. I'm just like, did you not get that
from the screen caps?
What amazes me is that the game is free to play, what? But the DLC, the original soundtrack, is £7.
They've got to get their money in somewhere. I won't be buying it, though.
£7 for a soundtrack.
Vocal by Parrot.
Oh, my God.
Mastered by 3R2.
L?
Hmm.
Yes.
I would say that you've outdone yourself, right?
I mean, today has been exemplar, right?
Yeah, the thing is, you went out to find something really weird. I mean, that is on the borderline of what I would call a game. That is a series of screenshots with a questionable storyline and £7.19
soundtrack. You're almost trolling yourself.
Yeah, but the problem, yeah, but it was the way she segued from this really weird Red Strings Club thing into this non-game. And the problem is, the Red Strings Club looks both like it's an actual game and really fucking weird.
The Red Strings
now,
Club is a good
the
game.
The thing that you need to understand, everybody that's listening, is that when Elle says, this next one's quite weird, right?
Pinch yourself.
You need to strap in. because there's something important happening.
Not strap on, strap no, in.
I'm pretty sure the tiger dudes have got the strap ons
yeah,
covered.
Yeah, got the whole thing. Not
know.
Got a lot
I
else
think,
covered.
I think they've got those inbuilt.
Oh my god! Right.
This
is brilliant. I feel like we need to do a week called L Steam Share Week, where all of us play
nothing
but the games that are on L's Steam.
I don't think my sanity
sure?
could take that.
Yeah, are you sure you could cope? I mean, I could recommend one game each.
I played Elder Scrolls Online and I didn't kill anybody, so I'm pretty sure that my constitution is up to the task.
You could tailor a game for each of us.
No. Because yeah, I'll like end that. Up with the weird furry
yeah,
dating
I prefer
game.
That.
No, hang
yeah.
on.
Yep.
Let's yeah, Rich, because you're up. Complaining, no. you will oh, get the weird furry dating simulator.
I'm going to get victimised. I'm sure of it. I back out. I rescind the idea for this podcast. Right, look, El,
nope.
you've really... You've,
too late.
You've really,
done.
It's
we,
not canon.
We voted by dictatorship.
No, it's not. By dictatorship, no.
Verbal contract, it's, no.
Oh, my God.
It's a Christmas present.
Okay, we're not going to do that ever. So we need to talk about something else. I want to talk about something. Lewis wants to talk about 25 things. Lee wants to talk about something. I don't know if I want Lee to talk about the things that he's got, but I'm going to let him anyway. And I reserve the right to cut in at any point and say, no, you're not allowed to do this anymore. What do you want to talk about, Lee?
Well, you've highlighted one.
No, I'm gonna highlight that.
For those that can't see, that's a blank square on the sheet. Project Cars 2.
Okay. Haven't you talked about this before?
No, Project Cars I talked about before.
Oh, it's basically
so yes,
the same
then.
Game.
It was the Banana Zumba. Moment, wasn't it?
Oh man, yes.
No, we're not going back to that. Careful, we're going to break hell.
I bought Project Cars 2 for a friend of mine for Christmas, and he bought it back for me for Christmas as well.
What? You basically
Lee,
bought yourself
you need
again.
Better friends.
Yeah. We're BFFs. Yeah. He took it over to Australia with him and played it with his brother. His brother then bought him a Logitech G920 steering wheel. And then bought one for himself. So we've all got steering wheels. And we've been playing Project Cars 2.
Lee, your friend needs better brothers.
we've been playing this game online together with one of us in Australia.
Okay.
And it's been really, really good. Yeah, it's we actually, you've played this, Rich.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
don't
you
lie.
Have.
No, I don't hang out in your circles.
You've played
what?
This.
When
we played this at EGX,
you played it in VR
last year on a £30,000 motion simulator rig.
Oh, that thing! I didn't know what game I was playing there. It's just a racing game. They're all the fucking same.
Fair enough.
It's like sports ball. Was that the one with the brake that you could push and push and push, but nothing ever happened?
Yeah, loads
like
of
accelerator. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's a significant upgrade to Project Cars 1. They've made things a lot prettier. The menu system in VR is a lot more friendly. It's actually built with VR in mind. It actually looks better in VR than the first one by quite some distance as well.
I would hope so.
Well, no, you'd say that, but there's kind of like a glass ceiling for VR because you can only, you know, the requirements are so high that you have to downgrade things a little bit in VR to make them run smooth enough so you don't get sick.
But wasn't Project Cars originally a non-VR title, and then they ported it over.
Yeah, they exactly. So,
or because it was all crowdfunded originally, wasn't it? And then they.
I don't know about crowdfunded, but I did in the when I first mentioned this in the Banana Zumba incident, I didn't attribute the developer correctly. It's actually slightly Mad Studios that did Project Cars. I said somebody else, so sorry.
Well, like they're ever going to listen.
You don't know.
I've got an important question,
yes,
Lee. Right.
Yes, I have.
Is this version more furious than the first one? Is it faster?
Is it too fast?
Horsepowers.
How many horses, Lee?
Many horses. Yeah. No bananas.
No Banana Zumbas.
No, there's the Pagani Zumba. I can't even remember.
From now on, it's Banana Zumba now. We need to send them an email. Just so you're aware, your vehicle is now known as the Banana Zumba.
If they
Infinity.
Did DLC with Banana Zumbas in, I would pay for that.
It'd be amazing. Right, now I say it's just a racing game. However, recently-ish, we both played Forza Horizon 3. Which is
fucking incredible.
Which is the first racing game I've played in a really long time. But I really, really liked it because it's got all the best aspects of, I don't want to say an RPG, but like a game that's got progression in it.
Yeah, it's got a gaming loop in it. Yeah.
Exactly.
A loop you drive around.
Happens to be driving as well, but then it's multiplayer and you can play with other people. I kind of changed my mind about racing games a little bit when I played that. But Project Cars looks kind of like a simulator. And I don't really want to play simulators, or is it not?
Project Cars is very, very much a simulator. You would not enjoy it. Well, I don't know if you would. It's great fun playing with people, because when you're racing with someone and you have all the hijinks of, you know, knocking them off the track and that sort of thing, and a bit of...
That's all good for me.
It's just fantastic fun.
Both of you can drive.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but do you guys not remember every single time we play a game in which there is some kind of vehicular driviness and you guys are forced to get into a car with me, you always complain?
That's because we always die.
No, that's incidental to the driving. There are zombies. This is one example. The
it's
driving
not always
wasn't...
the zombies that kill us.
Most of the driving didn't kill us.
You know, it's the ending of the driving by...
Yeah, when zombies crawl through the windows. If the zombies hadn't have been there, we'd have been fine. We could have gotten our banana zumba and fucked off to the shops and everything would have been no problems.
There's no zombies in GTA 5 and I always just couldn't look at the screen when I got into a car with you in GTA 5.
That's not true. You are a big old liar. This is similar to the horse fighting
Remember,
thing.
Remember, kids, if you're uncomfortable in a car, you can feel free to tell the driver to stop and get out.
I want a want a rally game in VR in which
I'd love to be the map person.
Yeah, no, because the thing is, a rally game in VR would basically be two people. One person who is there driving the car and the other person who is constantly shitting themselves. Because if you're in VR in a game like that and you have zero control, it is worst experience in the entire world.
I'd love it. Because you could read the instructions and be like, oh yeah, slight snaky bend to the left. Let's go.
Sorry. Actually, I really like this idea. I really like this idea. Please tell me there is a Colin Mc... Oh, they don't... He's dead now, isn't he? What are they called?
Colin McRae's dead, isn't he?
The last one.
Okay, well, did they do that in VR and can somebody sit next to you?
There is. You can do Richard Burns rally in VR, but you can't do it with
someone... have to do this. No, I really want to play
it
VR.
You can't do someone sitting next to you.
Oh, that's so disappointing. Oh, I would have done a whole series
Well, you
of
could.
Videos.
You could just have a microphone and a headset on. You wouldn't even need to have a VR headset.
I like
just
that even
a microphone
better.
Headset.
Isn't watching the game and has no actual idea what's happening.
I just have a map.
A map of Ludlow.
I don't know where we are, but I have a map.
Yeah. Turn left down Moore Street. What? I'm in the middle of a forest.
It's not even a proper map. It's like one of those maps that you get of a theme park.
It's actually
just
one of
areas. There's no roads on
it.
In VR. It is Gary. Oh my god! Well, I feel like we've gone off piste a little bit here. So Project Cars 2, you like it? Good improvement, and all people, both VR and non-VR, are enjoying it.
Yep, really good. It's nice because I started off playing the pancake version, just get everything set up. And it was really nice to go from flat screen to VR because it's just such a difference. And actually, there's something I just wanted to mention. That I saw a game called Gravel, which is, you mentioned Forza. Gravel is rally racing, as Forza is to street racing. It's the arcade version of Dirt, basically, of Dirt Rally. And I was looking to see if there was a VR version because it's reviewed really well and lots of people were talking about it. And I thought, this could be something to get into. And I looked in the Steam discussions and there were a few questions from people saying, is there going to be a VR version? And basically, there's not. And every time that somebody answered that question by saying, no, there's not going to be a VR version, all of the posts after that were, I'm out, because there weren't going to be a VR version.
This is one of the genres where if they're not building in VR from the ground up now, I think they're really going to struggle because there are so many people that play, and you're in a similar situation with space flight simulators and those kind of things. People who have gone to the length of buying a HOTAS or a steering wheel and stuff like that, they want to play a simulator. They want to get in there and they want to really play it. Like, they know it's a game, but they want to really get involved, not play with a pad or anything like that. The next logical step for that is being in VR. And I know that I know a lot of people who have gone out and bought VR headsets for what I would class as really mundane games.
Yeah.
To just play in stuff like racing games or flight simulator games and stuff like that. If they don't start building it in from the ground up in these games from now on, I really think they're going to start struggling.
Mm. I mean, they're not always. Definitely going to split the market. Definitely.
They're always going to be on the consoles. And that's their pinch point at the minute until the next generation comes out. Mm. Have you said everything that you want to say about your? Is this your? We need a jingle. I feel like we need a jingle for your VR title of the week. Is that a thing? L, can we have a jingle?
Give me a moment. Okay, give me a moment. Everything's better in Lee's VR.
Oh, I love that.
I like that. Everything isn't better in Lee's garage, which is...
Cold.
This is a different thing.
Cold in this, a little bit messy.
Trying to escape from little... Lee's garage in VR.
No, it's a little bit fritzel. I'm just saying. okay. I've got a couple of other things I'm going to talk about. I'm going to move back over to Lewis very quickly, though, because he's got 14,000 things, and he wants to talk about something. So, do you want to shoot through a couple of things that you've got on your list, Lewis?
Civ 6.
Good.
Almost exactly like Civ 5.
That, you could have said that from the very first game. It's the same game.
Apart from there are more...
just more.
More.
They, more tiles.
All they do is they bring out a new version of the game every now and again so they can resell you the same DLC year upon year. Every single time they bring out a new version of Civ, it hasn't got all of the features that the previous version of Civ plus the DLC had. And then they charge you extra for DLC to put the features back in again.
Hmm.
Look, it's like printing money. You know that we're going to buy it.
But I think I only got it for about £6 or £7 on the Humble monthly.
Oh,
alongside a couple of other games as well, so
bargain.
Yeah, and I got some of the DLC packs, which is all good for me.
You want to talk any more about that, or talk about something else?
No, well, the only other one was Firewatch.
I wanted to talk about this. This is the one that I wanted you to talk about. The last time we did a podcast, we were talking about a game that was like a walking simulator, and I can't remember what the fuck it was now, and it sounded incredibly dull.
Was it Dear Esther?
And we mentioned at the time that there is another game that is also kind of a walking simulator, but it looks a lot better. Now, I haven't played it, but I think Elle had.
I have, and I enjoyed it.
So I was really interested to see what you thought the difference was between Dear Esther and this.
So Firewatch is an actual game, whereas Dear Esther is just
someone talking at you. Like, you know when you get forced into, like, going on a walk with an elderly relative and they tell you the most mundane stories. I think that's comparable.
I play Rocket League every day.
Yeah. So, Firewatch has a sense of humour. It actually has a kind of heart to it. So there are some real kind of heart-wrenching moments pretty much from the off. And it leads you up to, so it gives you a kind of quick intro into the character that you're playing and how he got where he was, or how he got where you are when you start the game. And yeah, it's really good so far.
Oh, I know this
really,
game.
Really good.
I recognize it now.
Yeah, I want to play this. I've seen this a few times and I do actually want to play it. This is the one where you've got... So there's a woman on the radio at another Firewatch tower who's talking, who's your only kind of contact.
That is pretty much the gist of it. But you can go around and you are basically like a park ranger or a Firewatch ranger, I don't know. You just kind of wander around the park with your map and compass and you can... pick shit up like fireworks and steal people's beer for people that are
littering kids.
Going skinny dipping in the lake in the national park and setting off fireworks and stuff like that. So yeah, it's good. And there are I haven't got that far into it, but it's now starting to get where the story's turning. So like you can look
bits?
At Yeah, so you can look at something and you can radio through to whatever her name is, Beatrice or whatever, and be like, "Hey, I'm looking at a log," and she'd be like, "Yeah," and or like you'll mention about the fog coming in, and you can radio through to her, and she's like, "Yep, that's something that happens."
So she's just kind of getting pissed.
Other times she is more helpful. Well, no, other times she is more helpful, but like, I don't want to give too much away, but she does. There is a section of the game, and then she just kind of disappears.
Oh.
she, so you then can't radio through to her, and you're just kind of like, shit, so what do I do now? But yeah, it's really good. It looks really nice. Even with the settings turned right down on my laptop, playing it on a big TV, it looks really nice.
How much did you pay for this?
It's another $14.99
job. I didn't pay that much for it, though.
Okay, if we look around, we'll be able to find it. I'm tempted to play this for next time we podcast so I can talk about it as well.
Do a Steam share.
Yeah, we can do that. I don't know what it is about this game, because I don't even know where this came from, because this kind of came out of nowhere. It's not a big old indie title or anything like that, but it kind of... I've heard other people talking about it. I've seen lots of other stuff about it, but it's not the kind of game that lots of people Twitch. It's just there. And it feels so different to everything else, even though it's kind of a little indie game, that makes me want to play it. So I think I might do this for next time we pod.
Two things. One, in my list it says, similar to games you've played, Fallout 4.
Yeah, well, the only problem that I've got is it says, similar to games you've played, Abduction.
Okay.
No way, mate.
The other thing is, I ran into this back when it was first out. I think it was before I had my Vive, or it might have been when I first got my Vive, and the developers did an interview in the Firewatch tower in VR, where you could actually stand in the tower with
them.
And you could walk around and pick things up in the tower.
Yeah,
it was really, really cool.
But you can't play the game in VR. It's not a VR compatible.
It's not
game.
A VR game. No.
Okay,
this is the kind of game that I saw on my list, you know, like recommended games queue. Yeah. And I was like, well, I've got to buy this now. It's just there.
See, I click on my recommended games queue and it just kind of shows me a couple of weird games and ones that I probably don't want to play. I think I've got a horrible feeling that when Elle clicks on her recommended games queue, there's like a division at Steam that goes, oh boy, she's back. Here again. What have you got? Oh god, well, in the last hour I've been making this really weird game in which you play as a soldier that gets dipped into an egg. Rhea fucking perfect. She's in. Let's do it. Put it on Steam quick.
But I really want other people to play it, because I don't know whether, because I've become so used to playing horror games, I'm super paranoid within like any other setting. I want to know how other people interact with the story in this one, or what they expect to have been happening, because I was just like, I was ready. I was ready.
Fucking pyramid head coming around the corner, coming out skinny dipping or something like that.
I've trained for this.
Fucking ready. I've been playing furry dating and 8-bit weird shit going on.
I don't think that's trained me for anything.
Something.
I'm not gonna lie.
Something. Okay, Firewatch, I think I'm going to try and play this for next pod, if I can, if not the pod after. So somebody's going to have... Lee, you're going to have to remind me, like, in a few days that I said that.
I had to remind you yesterday and today that you were podding today.
That is also true. It's good to have a secretary.
Also true, as well as everything else I've said tonight.
No.
Oh, yeah.
We will film ourselves playing them fighting herds, and I will prove that you are rubbish. And I am fantastic. Right, look, is there anything else on your list that you want to talk about, Lewis, before we shift over to another one of my rants?
Okay. No, that's it.
I need to move on to a quick, very, very quickly. I'm going to blast through this, and unless anybody else has anything that they want to talk about, we can wrap up after that. But so this week I've been playing Fortnite. So, Elle, you possibly won't like this.
I have heard of this.
I don't know. You might like this, though, actually. I'm not really sure. Lewis, have you played Fortnite? Okay.
I haven't.
So Fortnite, if anybody hasn't, I'm sure everybody's seen it by now, and if you watch Twitch streams, you've definitely seen it.
This is the one that Ross was talking about last week, isn't it?
This is the PlayerUnknown Battleground style game that is free to play. It's free to play on Xbox and PC. Pretty sure it's cross-platform, because I'm pretty sure that I've been playing with Xbox players today. I'm not 100% sure, though. And
console plebs.
And it's brilliant. I really, really enjoy it. I'm not very good at it. Can't win. But I'm really, really, really enjoying this game. Loads of people are saying, I've been looking at reviews and stuff, and people are directly comparing PlayerUnknown Battleground to Fortnite. And apparently, like, the PlayerUnknown Battleground people had an argument about Fortnite originally. They tweeted saying, oh, they stole all of our ideas. Yeah, because your Battle Royale game is brand new and fresh, and nobody's ever done that before. But this completely, it's so different.
DayZ.
I know. It's so different to PlayerUnknown's Battleground or The Culling or any. The Culling was so good at the time, it's completely died now.
Rust.
Yeah, Rust is a bit different. But it's got the base building elements, though, because Fortnite has. One of the major things that makes it different is your ability and the requirement to build things. And you have to.
And
do
I love
it.
Resource management.
It's not really massive resource management, I've got to be honest.
You just, as you happen to walk past something, you hit it with your pickaxe.
Yeah, and you've got to get some materials and stuff. You've got to make sure that you've always got some materials on hand at all times. The really tricky thing, though, is you can build up to the top of things. So if you need to get up to the top of a building or up to the top of a mountain, you can build some ramps to go up to it, and you get good at it, and you can build them quite quick, and that's all the rest of it. The thing that's taking me ages to get the hang of is if you get into combat, before you pull the fucking trigger on your gun, before you actually open fire at the person who's coming at you, you build. And you don't have a choice. You have to do it. If you don't, you will die. So if you're in an open field, the first thing that you do is hit whatever combination of buttons you've got on your keyboard or mouse and build a very small structure, probably with a ramp on it, that you can then peep up over the top of and shoot them. And it's so difficult to train yourself to do that and not just shoot at them. Every single time I've just stood there and shot at them, I've just died. Doesn't matter how much I dodge left and right, or duck, or hide behind Lee, I die. that is the thing that makes it really different. That's what makes it different to PlayerUnknown's Battleground. There's no vehicles and other things in it like that, and the cartoony style is really, really good. But if you're on PC, or if you're on Xbox as well, but if you're on PC specifically and you're listening to this and you've got any inkling to play Fortnite, come on and play it. Add me, I'm Zebwen, on the Epic Launcher or whatever it is, and you can see how bad I am firsthand.
Right, Fortnite is not cross-platform. You can't play with PC or Xbox players from PC. There is a way for PS4 players to play with PC players, but
okay.
Oh, and one other thing to note is that if you play on Xbox, you need Xbox Gold to play online, and if you play it on PS4, you can play it for free without. The PS Plus thing.
Alright, okay. Well, I'm enjoying this so much that I bought the completely unnecessary Battle Pass that you don't actually have to have and only really gives you cosmetic items.
Facepalm.
No, but shut up. But yeah, no, I did it. Oh, shut up. How many cars have you bought in Rocket League?
I'm not saying.
Stick it up your ass.
I want to incriminate myself.
So yeah, I bought this Battle Pass, but in a kind of just a wrap up Fortnite. Fortnite has got both the best and the worst microtransaction system in the world that has ever existed on PC. You get the game for free. The Battle Royale side of the game is completely free. There is a PvE side of the game as well that you have to pay for. It's in early access at the moment. But the Battle Royale side you can play for completely free. Every season they have a Battle Pass. So every couple of months they have this new Battle Pass that you can buy. And during the Battle Pass, you level up. And the stuff that you do in the game and you have to complete little challenges and stuff like that levels you up even more, and you unlock loads of cosmetic items and emotes and dances and all this kind of stuff. You get loads of content. But you also get V-Bucks, which is kind of the in-game currency. And you get enough V-Bucks so that when the next season starts, you've already earned enough V-Bucks to buy the next Battle Pass without having to spend real-world cashy money. So you only ever have to do it once. That's fine. And it's a great system. It really kind of gets you into it and gives you more to do in the game. And $7.99, it was all it was for the Battle Pass. It gives you loads. It enhances the game. If you're already enjoying playing it, it gives you a load more to do. The actual item shop on the flip side of this is fucking horrendous. So $7.99 I pay for the Battle Pass. It gives me potentially like shit tons of items and all kinds of other stuff. To buy one, let's say, fucking hammer, like a disco ball hammer, was £6.50. What? Why would you do that? I've seen people running around with them. I saw somebody running around with what must have been at least £25 worth of cosmetic items on him. Well, now that's batshit, isn't it? I'm not batshit for buying the Battle Pass, am I, Lee?
I'm reserving my judgment again.
You're stupid. I beat you at horse fighting. You don't know.
You did not.
Right. Is that the end of it? I think I've done quite enough ranting and yapping about shit now. Does anybody have anything else that they've seen or done or played this week that they want to talk about before we bugger off?
Yes.
Oh, no.
No, not Tekken.
Okay, good. Go on then.
Last week everybody got to do what their cool thing that they'd done in the last 12 months or whatever it was.
Okay.
2 years.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, then I was trying to make it sound not quite so bad.
Indeterminate time length.
I built an arcade machine.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to come up with something really rubbish there, but that was really good.
I found a guide. I'd actually tried to build one in the past, and a full-size stand-up arcade machine with four joysticks and a million buttons and spinners and trackballs and everything on it, and I made it so complicated and so big and unwieldy that I gave up in the end before it got finished.
You never.
And it was. I got it to the state where it could actually play games, and then started playing games, and then got bored of actually building it because I could play the games already, which is apparently one of the most fatal flaws you can do. Using it. So I found this guide not so long ago, and on an Instructables to build a two-player bar top. So it's the perfect size to actually just sit on a desk and sit on a normal height chair and play side by side with someone with just the right amount of buttons to play something like Street Fighter. I built this thing. I 3D printed the top bit, the decal thing that goes up the top, the marquee. With Space Invaders and things, and I 3D printed where the buttons are mounted in the front and made it all pretty and everything. And then the best thing I did with it was when I went to EGX with Rich, I took it with me.
Not to EGX, I'm just making that clear. He brought it to my house.
Yeah.
He didn't go to EGX carrying
it. It would have been one of the best things at EGX, actually, in the retro zone, to be fair.
So I'd just like to point out that when he was talking about the marquee thing, right, he's actually done this on brand. He's 3D printed a green invader with LED lights behind it. So when he turns it on, the green invader lights up.
Yeah.
Or multiple green invaders light up. He's actually built this thing is a proper arcade machine with like coin press buttons and all kinds of shit on it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And one of the best things we got to do with it was I schooled him at Speedball 2.
No, you didn't beat me at anything.
Kicked your ass at Speedball 2. There's no denying that.
We drank a lot of beer that night. Like, we may or may not. I don't recall crying, but you may or may not have beat me at Speedball 2, but I definitely beat you at them fighting herds.
We didn't play that then.
No, that's true.
this was good fun. It was really nice to bring it up and your kids to play it as well. Fighting over it. So,
to be honest, this reminds me of why I loved arcades so much. And this actually reminds me of why I stopped playing certain types of games, like fighting games, because fighting games and everything for me at the time had a place in the arcade, and they're fantastic to play. And I'm gonna say it wrong again, and Galaga style games where you have shut up, don't you say at me, you played a game with furries in it.
I did.
Galaga style games where you've got two people next to each other playing. There's so much that is lost nowadays, even if you're couch gaming. There is so much that is lost when it's not an arcade machine. I think there's a whole generation of people that aren't going to understand that because they won't ever have played them. And on the flip side of all of this, not on the flip side, but actually kind of similar to it. So I went on holiday last week. It was a campsite, reasonably local, down in the Cotswolds, took the kids there. They absolutely love it. This place, I've been there since I was a kid. This is how long this place has been there. And it used to have an arcade, and I'm talking a proper arcade. Took up half of one wing of the place, and it had loads of games. Some of my favourite games, Metal Slug, Wacky Wacky 7, loads of other ones, were all in this thing. And it's where I found lots and lots of games that I still love to this day. Took the kids in there this year. There were a sum total of two actual games in there. One of which was a really, really old motorbike game that you just tilt from side to side on. And one of them was, I don't know what the other one was because it was out of order. And there were 12 other machines in the arcade that were all ticket machines. There were all these ones where you put money in and then it just like spins a thing and you either win two tickets or no tickets or something like that. And you have to save up 4,000
really
tickets
sad.
For a bag of Haribo. And it is absolutely terrible. And there were so many kids in there handing over fistfuls of money to get these little tickets so that they could get this shitty, crappy little Chinese knockoff toy or something that they were trading into 12,000 tickets at the bench. It was awful.
It's difficult for arcades to compete with home consoles, though.
Yeah.
In a place like that, when you've got people there, I don't understand the economics and the demographics behind the entire thing. Arcades suffer from the same thing that the movies did.
I'll try and get the Instructables link put in the episode blurb for this one. So
yeah,
this the one I made. If something that interests anybody out there, I really highly recommend you just go and do it, because it's not expensive. It doesn't require too many advanced tools. You could probably borrow them from a relative or somebody that's got the right know-how. It's like I say, it's not expensive. You don't need a computer. It's a Raspberry Pi in the middle of it, an old flat-screen CRT monitor that probably sitting in your loft already. The joysticks and buttons are very cheap. You can probably pick up all the parts of this for less than half the price of a Switch.
I don't know why, but I find like arcade machines, LAN parties, and local co-op really wholesome.
Mm. Yeah, there's something really nice about them. LAN party. Well, we were talking about, what was it, on Insomnia the other day. I wouldn't even class that as a LAN party anymore. That's like a big old event.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing as a LAN party.
I took this to a big family barbecue in the summer, and everybody was crowding around it, waiting for their turn.
Yeah, it just brings you together, doesn't it?
Oh, we had such a good time. From like the little ones, the 5 and 6 year olds were, peering over the controls, trying to see the screen, to the older guys that, weren't really gamers back when they were games. When they first came out, but they were, have you got this game? Have you got Asteroids? Have you got Colin McRae Rally on the PlayStation 1? And most of the answers were, yes, of course I have.
Because you had every game under the bloody sun on it.
Pretty much.
All legitimately paid for, I must add.
Yeah.
So.
Fidget games, the glue that brings us together.
Yep. Right then. Oh, that's what I completely forgot to ask you, what you've done over the last couple of years, because I know.
Yeah,
and I didn't think anybody else was going to care.
You were there for most of it.
You've done it now anyway. Right, look, we've talked for way longer than I expected to tonight. I'm sure an awful lot of this can be cut out, but the important thing is that I got to rant at least twice, and I've now got 3 games on my Steam wish list that I'm going to go away and possibly pay for. Or
one of them's free to play as well.
One of them's free. Which one? No, I'm not paying that. I refuse to play that game for longer than 3 hours. So
longer than I had on that.
You loved it, Al. Right then, we're going to go. I need to say thank you, or I need to point people in the direction of things. So this is the point in the podcast where people are going to remind me stuff. So
just scroll down.
Scroll down, and there's going to be some stuff. Do I scroll?
Don't read that document.
No, it'll be fine. So we are Ready Player 2. This has been episode 71. You can find us all on Twitter, and I'm going to go to our Twitter accounts in a bit, but you can find Ready Player 2 at ReadyP2 on Twitter. You can find us at Ready Player 2 on Facebook. I'm not really sure what the link is, though, so you just have to search for us. You can find us at Ready Player 2, that's TWO.co.uk. You can possibly find us, if they end up hosting us eventually, on the PalaceOfWisdom.co.uk as well. But we had a problem with our website, and everything went down, so we haven't been posting things properly. But everything's back up now, so it's all going to be great. Hurrah. We're all also hosted on Acast. Is it acast.com, Lewis?
Acast.com/probably something,
but you can probably search for us on there.
There's a link on the website.
There'll be a link on the website. You can find all our fantastic t-shirts and stuff on Spreadshirt, but not the one that got removed because of legal reasons.
Boo.
Boo. And you can find other stuff. What is there other stuff I've forgotten about?
No, most of the links are on the website, so Stitcher, iTunes, RSS feeds.
Everything's there.
Anywhere.
Now that the website's working, yeah, we're all fucking fantastic.
Yeah, don't forget to talk to us, because we need your feedback and we need your input.
Yep. And people have been saying, actually, somebody mentioned on Twitter not long ago, oh, you need to do something about your audio, and the music in the background is needs dealing with. And it's been like ages, and we're rusty. We're trying to sort it all out.
We're still new to this.
Yeah, we're babes in the beach. We are on this, so we're going to get better. And everybody, give us your feedback. If there's anything you don't like about the podcast, if there's anything that you want to change, if there's something you want us to talk about, if there's a game that you've seen or a piece of news that you've seen that you want us to bring up or have a look at, then let us know. Twitter, Facebook, whatever the fuck it is, just come and tell us. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen, that's Zebwen. You can find Elle at
Escaping IRL. Send me your weird games.
Not that she needs them, because she can find them by herself. You can find Lewis at
@Louis_Kong, or something on Steam. I forget what my Steam name is.
And you can find Lee at
@ZZLeeZZ on Twitter. I'm also ZZLeeZZ68
It's not a clue to my year of birth.
That's his on, age or his year of
on Xbox. You're going to play Rocket League with me on there.
He likes playing Rocket League on Xbox Live because everybody on there is considered
shit. Yeah, they're all rubbish. It's great.
You can find me on Steam as well, actually. Lewis mentioned Steam. You can find me on Steam. I'm Newbie5 on Steam. If anybody else wants to shout out their Steam name, if anybody wants to find them,
oh,
on
you
there.
Can guess mine.
That's, yeah.
I think it's. I can't remember what mine is. I think just look for Louis Kong.
You're Louis Kong. You got a weird picture of a face with a mask on it. I'm not really sure what that is.
Mi Gusta
from the internet.
Payday,
memes.
In fact.
Yeah, I thought it might be a Payday.
No, it's one of the Payday masks.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's us. You can find us in all of those places. I've just noticed that Lewis is a higher level than me on Steam, which I
better
get. How's
that
don't
work?
Understand.
But I think I'm probably
played
lower
the games.
Than both of you, and I've been
slightly angry about.
How's that work?
That's
because
that
I play other games
thing.
Rather than just Rocket League and Minecraft.
Right.
Whee!
In your fucking face, because Minecraft isn't even on Steam.
I'm level 13, and I've
well,
been
consider me told.
Years on Steam.
Right, that's us. We've got to go because it's been really, really long. Thank you very much for coming and talking to me tonight, everybody. Bye.
Test. Oh no, there will be lots. I'm actually going to mute my mic, but I'm going to edit my audio before I send it to Ross so I get rid of all the coughs.
I got really sad because he's a bit of a bell end, isn't he? Trying to escape from Lee's garage in VR.
It's a little bit fritzel. I'm just saying.
The thing is, we've been burning witches for ages. Maybe people are just assholes.
And also, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably incapable of making informed choices. So...
Indeterminate time length.
Well, we're not just here for your fucking entertainment.
It's okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.